Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Substance of Life podcast. As you know, it is the month of October, and it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Today, we have a young woman who is going to share with us her experiences. Her name is Joyce Outler, and she is a breast cancer survivor and has gone through some really interesting experiences with her victory, and I do use the term victory, with breast cancer. Joyce, welcome to the Substance of Life podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I am delighted that you are with us. Now, I, as always with all my guests, I want to dive right in. When were you first diagnosed with breast cancer?
It was a year ago. I was actually diagnosed. It was either October 30th or October 31st of 2018.
Oh, wow.
So it hasn't been quite a year yet.
It hasn't been a year. So you caught it early.
I didn't catch it at all. The technician caught it.
Okay. Give us a little bit more background. The technician, where were you? How did you first learn?
I usually get my mammograms yearly. In 2017, I went on my birthday because that's when I usually go. And when I got there, the technician said, "Oh no, Miss Atwood, we were trying to call you. It's only been 6 months since your last one, so you don't have to come until September." And I forgot. And so in October, I was in the hospital to see my cardiologist. And I said, "Oh, let me go make my appointment." That was 2018, October 2018. October 16th, I went in for my mammogram. And the next day, the technician called me and said, "We see something, you need to come back." And I went back, which was not the first time that it happened. So I wasn't too worried until I could see them talking and nobody was talking to me. And I said, "Oh, this is not good." And they took me to the navigator, who told me they saw something, I need to have a biopsy. And with the doctor, I had the biopsy the next day. And so this is all happened in 3 days. And the doctor told me, I think I went in that Tuesday or Wednesday, and that's when I got the diagnosis.
Now, when you went into the physician, were you or did you do your own breast examinations, like
no.
once a month?
I did not.
So you did not make that a ritual?
Mm-mm, but I wouldn't have found it that way anyway, because apparently it was deep and it was a slow moving cancer. I don't know what that means. And she said I wouldn't have found, there was no way I would have found it.
Okay. So the technician found it, the doctor confirmed it, then what happened?
I said, "What happens next?" And she said, "We have to operate." She said, "But you can, it's your choice. You have the option of a lumpectomy or a mastectomy."
Now, why would they give you a choice between a lumpectomy and a full, was it a full mastectomy or just a partial?
I was at stage one.
Okay.
So at that stage, it was very small. They could do a lumpectomy. They didn't have to do the lymph nodes. So I chose the lumpectomy. However, the doctor told me if it comes back, it's all gone. You know, there's no option if it comes back.
Okay. And how often were they checking to make sure that it didn't come back?
They're still checking. I have to have the mammogram every year, but I see the doctors, the oncologists, the radiologist, and the surgeon every 3 months.
So was there any...
For five years.
For the mm-hmm. next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So when you first heard the news and, you know, you get in your car and you drive home, share with us how you were... What was going through your mind? What were you thinking?
It was a rough drive. But I knew that with faith, and it was stage one as opposed to being later.
Did they tell you what stage one actually was?
Yeah. So
can you share with our audience?
It was a very small cancer, and it was a slow growing one.
Okay.
So, and I told my children, I told my family, my brothers and sister, and I was nervous, but my mother had survived cancer.
So... You've had a history mm-hmm. of breast cancer in your family.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was different, and it happened so fast that I couldn't do a lot of things.
So you didn't have a time to really process. You just knew, I've got something growing inside me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust that you're going to remove it, and then I'll move forward.
And I trusted God, and I got some books, and I started reading, and that helped. From diagnosis to operation was about 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's relatively fast.
Yeah.
So you said you went and you got books. Mm-hmm. On
what breast cancer.
On breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. And they helped.
And it helped explain what you were about to go through?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, and explained how faith plays a part in it. And mm-hmm. that was the biggest thing for me. One of the books that I remember was Dear God, They Say I Have Breast Cancer. And that book took you from when you first get the diagnosis through the operation and what happens after. Because what happens after is when things start to be different in your life.
A little bit different in your life.
No, a lot different.
A lot different in your life.
In your life,
okay,
yeah.
So let's walk through that. So you go in, you have the operation, you're done. So now you have that post-surgical care. Tell us a little bit about your post-surgical care.
I had the operation on November 16th of 2018, and I started chemo in January, about 6 to 8 weeks later. The period after surgery, everything was the same, pretty much, except that I got tired and then
now,
started chemo.
Everybody hears that term. Okay, so I had chemo, and everybody says that. But nobody really explains to you what the journey of chemo is and what happens to your body as you are taking chemo treatments. What are they doing to you?
The first treatment, my chemo was every 3 weeks, or I was supposed to have 18 treatments, 6 with the cancer cocktail, and the rest was just the maintenance medicine. And I started in January, the first one, and you go the first day, which was a Wednesday. I would go on Wednesday. They would give me the cocktail. I'd be there for maybe about 6 hours.
Oh,
and
wow.
You're sitting in a room.
With other women?
With other people. Because it wasn't necessarily everybody had breast cancer. People were there for different things.
Okay.
And you sit in the room, you watch television, you read, you sleep or whatever. And then you come back the next day. And they give you medicines for the nausea to keep you feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
I got that the first time. The second time I went 3 weeks later, they gave me the Neulasta, which is a patch. And they give that to me. And 27 hours after chemo was over, that would shoot in. And that would keep me from being nauseous.
Okay.
And so I had that. The third time I went, my doctor said, which was in March, she said, it looks like something's going on with your heart.
Oh, my gosh.
So I went to my cardiologist, and they said that the Herceptin, which was one of the medicines that was in the cancer cocktail, was weakening my heart.
So it was just too strong.
So they had to take me off of that. And the Herceptin actually was the maintenance medicine, which would have been for my treatment 7 through 18. So they just took me off that. Completely.
So you didn't have to take that at all?
They gave me a different
medicine. A different type of medication in order to get through the maintenance piece of it.
I went through it. I fainted at work one day. So there are things going on with your body that you don't even understand or know. Mm. I was sitting at work one day after I had my treatment. I think either the third or the fourth treatment. I just fainted at my desk.
Did you have any pre-signs? Did you feel like, oh my God, I'm feeling kind of weak,
yeah,
or I'm just not, you know, doing too well? And then the next thing you know, you're out.
I saw stars. You really see stars.
You really see stars?
And I fainted. And I looked up. I don't know how long I was out, but my boss was standing up. She said, "Where's your doctor's number? Where's your doctor's number?" And everybody in my office was standing around. They had called the campus police. They had called 911. And they came. By the time they came, I felt better.
But you were still working as you were going through chemo.
Well, I was back to work because I had been off work.
So you had finished the regimen?
No, I was still on it. I went back to work after 6 weeks. I went back to work in January.
6 weeks after the surgery?
Right, yeah.
I did. Oh, wow.
And because that's what they told me I needed. And
to stay busy.
Yeah.
And for our listeners out there, tell everyone where your place of employment happens to be.
I work at Clark Atlanta University.
One of the pristine HBCUs.
Yes,
indeed.
In the AUC Center.
Yes.
And I'm the assistant to the provost.
Okay.
Which is the number two person at the university.
At the university, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you were surrounded by family, which brings me to my next point. And the reason why I say you were surrounded by family is because that workplace plays a vital, important role in your health, in the maintenance of your health thereafter. Because if people know what you're going through, they're better equipped to help you. So how did your relationships at work help you get through this? Because you look fabulous.
Thank you. They were great. As it turned out, the previous provost resigned because the work pace that we had when he was there, I couldn't have kept up with.
Okay.
You know, but the interim provost had been the provost 10, 12 years ago, and I had worked with her. I've been at CAU for 23 years. So she and I had worked together before, and it worked out beautifully. My coworkers were wonderful. They covered for me. When I was weak, they walked me to my car. You know, they were just great.
So I think that that's wonderful to be in the midst of being with a family of coworkers that, you know, it just wasn't okay. This is a battle that I'm fighting by myself. I've got people by my side to assist me to get me from point A to point B.
Yeah.
So, and I have to ask this of you because I ask this of every woman. You know, our hair is our crown. And I remember working with a young girl. She was in her early 30s, young mother. She was so frustrated one day at the desk. She just took her wig off and threw it across the room and said, I have had it. I cannot deal with this anymore. And just broke down and started crying. And oh my gosh, this might have been maybe 20 years ago for me. And that was my first, oh my goodness, this young girl is going through things, dealing with her cancer. And she had a family history of breast cancer as well. And so, as you were going through the chemo and the hair is coming out, did you just say, to heck with it, I'm going to cut it off? How did you deal with it?
They tell you it will start coming out 10 to 14 days after you start chemo. They're right on the money. And my hair started coming out in clumps. And my grandson's mother, one day she was at the house, I said, okay, it's got to go. And she just cut it off. And we had actually gone and I had bought a wig a few weeks before. And I said, I'm just going to have to start wearing the wig. So I wore the wig until probably my last chemo. And then it was slipping and sliding because I didn't have.
Because you didn't have anything to hold it. Exactly.
So I went to Walmart and they had some baseball caps and I bought them in every color.
See, now that's something I would have done. I'm like, we're going to get one to match every single outfit that we have. You got some bling ones over there. We're going to put those on too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they were, I think, like $4. And so they weren't expensive. And I got one on now because I started wearing my wig again because my hair is coming back.
Okay.
But on the weekends, I like to give it a rest. And so it's coming back. It's coming back a different texture, a different color. And I think in about 2 weeks, probably the end of this month, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I'm out of the hats and out of the wig.
And you're just going to go ahead and do whatever it is and be completely natural.
Yeah.
Now, as we were coming here, you made a statement that I didn't find it odd. I did find it enlightening. You said you didn't know how sick you were until you started getting better. I need you to expound on that.
After the chemo, the last chemo treatment I had, which was 3 days before my birthday, I was so sick. I was weak. I had taken off for my birthday. It was Good Friday. My birthday was on the day after Good Friday. And I was sick for 10 days. I couldn't get out of the bed. I had gone through 1 week after I fainted. About 2 weeks later, I was constipated for the weekend. I had never had that experience before. It was awful. And then I started radiology, and I was so weak. And my friends would have to come and pick me up to take me to work. My best friend.
Wait a minute. So you were going through radiology, and you still went to work?
I still went to work every day. And I couldn't walk from my car to my building without looking for something to hold on. If I went out by myself, I would say, okay, now how am I going to get from my car to the Kroger? And
Kroger's a grocery store for those of us that don't live in the South, don't know what Kroger is. It's a grocery store.
So I would have to think about everything that I did. How am I going to manage this? And this went on for about most of the summer. And then maybe in August, I looked up one day and said, oh, I made it to work. I didn't have to think about how I was going to get from my car to my office, which is only a block. The parking lot is across the street from my office. And then I started to realize I could eat because my appetite had gone. I had lost probably 20 to 25 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Everything I ate tasted nasty, so I wasn't eating.
So it was the chemicals that were still in your system.
Yeah.
Trying to get out of your system, right. But at the same time, you know, coming through your skin, your pores, and your taste buds.
Mm-hmm, everything. Wow. And then it makes you, the radiation makes you very weak. So I slept all the time, and I would come home and go straight to bed. I wouldn't eat. I would just get ready for bed and go to bed. And then I started saying to people, you know, 2 months ago I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that, and things started, and I realized I had been really, really ill and didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm, wow.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So today we are in 2019. We're in October 2019. Tell us how you are today.
I feel great. I went to my rheumatologist because I've had arthritis for probably 20 years. He said I didn't need the medicines that I had been on at this point. He says he's never seen it before, but it looks like the chemo has helped my arthritis.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not on those medicines. I still feel weak at times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the cancer medicine. I'll be taking that for at least the next 5 years. The only thing that's left is the neuropathy, which is ugly. And it's in my hands and my feet, and I have numbness all the time.
Is that normal? Because I remember my mother-in-law telling me that she had the neuropathy, mm-hmm. and her hands and her feet were very weak, and sometimes she would go to pick something up, and then it would slip. Yeah. Out of her hands, and she didn't even know how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you're experiencing the same thing.
And you become very clumsy. I didn't drive for a while because my feet would slip off the pedal. I couldn't. In fact, I don't want to claim that it was the neuropathy, but I was coming down my driveway one Saturday evening, and I ran into my neighbor's tree.
Oh, wow.
And totaled my car across the street from my house.
You hadn't even left the neighborhood.
I hadn't left the neighborhood. My car, I just couldn't feel the brake. And so that's the only real.
That's the only side effect that you have.
And, you know, your nails get ugly and they fall off, but they're coming back now.
Okay.
Your fingernails and your toenails.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So I've been in flats for at least 6 months.
Okay.
I put on heels or a shoe with the back, which I went through the whole summer without sandals.
Oh.
Or flip. I can't even do flip-flops.
Because you can't feel.
I can't
in feel. Between. You can't feel the thong right. In between your toes.
Exactly.
So you don't know if you've got the shoe on or not.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Yeah. So so that's probably the only real after effect.
That you've had thus far. Mm-hmm. Well, I will say it again. You look fabulous.
Well, that's God.
You know, you look, if someone had to say, yes, she's a cancer survivor, they would never know because you look fabulous.
Well, God is good. The nurse practitioner told me when I first met her in the oncologist, she said there'll be some Sundays you won't be able to go to church. And she was right, but I always streamed. I didn't miss one sermon. I couldn't get there.
But there were other methods.
There were other ways. I didn't make it to church on Easter. I didn't make it to church on Mother's Day. But God is still good, you know. And I just thank Him and praise Him for the recovery. I really do.
Well, I am excited to hear about that. And I'm grateful to God that you have fully recovered. And that you are doing extremely well and that you are back at Clark Atlanta where they need you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to our podcast. And for those individuals that are going through the journey of breast cancer, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You've heard Joyce's story. There are many, many journeys that we have to go through. Know that you do not have to go through this one alone. Know that there are resources that are at the bottom of this podcast excerpt that can assist you with your journey. Have a blessed afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to The Substance of Life.